द्यौ शान्तिस्तरिषं शान्तिः, पृथिवी शान्तिः, रापः शान्तिः, ओषधवः शान्तिः, वनस्थस्य शान्तिः, विश्वदेवा शान्तिः, ब्रह्मशान्तिः, सर्वे शान्तिरेव शान्तिः. ओम्, मे देर् बि पीस् इन् हेवन्, मे देर् बि पीस् इन् द स्काय्, may there be peace on earth, may there be peace in the water, may there be peace in the plants, may there be peace in the trees, may there be peace to the gods, may there be peace in Brahman, may there be peace in all, may that peace, real peace, be mine. Swami Nisheshananda, Atma Nivedana, January-February 1982. A poem, Wondrous Ways. Amazing forces play beneath what seem as simple facts of life. When inner eye is fully trained, the wondrous game will stay revealed. From day to day, the earth provides the food and drink that creatures need. To process these, each body makes its special juices right in time. A complete body takes its shape from single cell that duly grows. In wondrous ways, the all-wise Lord adapts in sport unseen and asked. He needs no light or limbs or tools or mind or force we mortals use. His simple presence makes all things and mind evolve in time and space. Witness the glory, essay. See how people run after miracles. They want to see them happening and demand. By miracle, most people mean a blessing which cannot be rationally explained. It comes without themselves doing anything which can normally lead to it. Some, however, regard it as happening in a natural way, but the laws regulating their happening are not yet fully known. They hold that sustained investigation in the right direction can reveal them. They also believe that anyone who provides the right conditions can make such events happen again. We know that all science research leads to the discovery of verifiable laws. From this last standpoint, we can surely make a list of many miraculous happenings. We can start with our own physical body. Is not its structure one of the greatest miracle clusters we can ever see? It is one of the nearest to us. There is no need for a costly instrument or observatory to study it. The body is itself an ingeniously constructed laboratory traveling with us. It is fully portable. In fact, it is in a way self-propelling. Its instruments are all built in. Even in its infant stage, it starts running. Strangely enough, as it runs, it grows into maturity. Look a little deeper. It's an energy-producing machine. It consumes its raw material food. It processes these materials silently and systematically rebuilds its component parts used to generate power. It has also special built-in systems for various essential services. For example, it has systems for all food transport, waste removal, and adjustment of water and heat. It defends itself against invaders. It loses no time in rushing to repair damages and cuts. It has arrangements even for reproduction. No man-made machine can match this feat. This body machine can ordinarily stay available for 100 years if looked after wisely. Let us add with proper care, reverence, and thankfulness. Alas, how few appreciate the grandeur and glory of this divine gift. To miss its genuine worth is in itself a tragedy. Greater tragedy consists in this. We stuff this friendly machine come home with improper and dangerous materials, and we fear, hate, oppress, and extreme cases destroy the similar divine equipment given to others. Science enables us to see these glories from various viewpoints. Physics, chemistry, psychology, sociology, economics, all approach this challenging enigma from special angles. Their methods of analysis reveals truth verifiable and standing forth a solid column of unsurpassed value. We can, if we are so inclined, learn to place an appropriate dome to crown them and harmonize them. another essay, Glories Within. Equal surprises await us in the mental world. What mind really is, we may not fully understand. Some texts state that it is God's creative office, cosmic mind, embracing all seemingly separate beings and minds. One thing is clear, it is a spacious stage where thoughts move. If left alone, they appear in haphazard combinations, dominate and create dangerous habits. But by patience and proper skill, we can choose noble concepts and values and make them become habits. These will sublimate older ones. Each individual naturally has special aims, immediate and remote. We can, however, bring humanity's objectives under three heads. These are the urges for attaining maximum power, wisdom and bliss. If this is accepted, all human beings can be valued as goal seekers. When they reach their culmination, all become goal achievers. In one respect, all of us can feel assured. No car engineer or manufacturer produces a car to fail on the road. A good driver does not collide with others. While steering our individual body-mind car safely, do we not take care to see that similar vehicles of our family members do not collide but reach their chosen goals? Why not then extend the same solicitude to other car drivers, community, nation, all humanity, and then also earth and all creatures on it? Indian scriptures cover these in one formula, earth, interspace and heaven. The meaning is that all are equal manifestations of the Lord's creative power and glory. They must be treated with equal reverence as areas worthy of adoration. It will be the height of achievement to accept this valuation intellectually and later to stay attuned to the glory. Moved by the resulting revelations, it will be a joy to be on the road as a blessing to all. Another essay, Devoted Yet Differing. We are free to interpret the following three anecdotes according to our best lights. The first is from The Master I Saw Him by Sister Nivedita. She was one of a group of eager students who attended Swami Vivekananda's classes and lectures in London. She easily saw the cogency of his ideas, but had some honest reservations. Never, she herself writes, till I had experiences that authenticated them, did I inwardly cast in my lot with the final justification of things he came to say. Others teased her for this skepticism, even in the Swami's presence. One day, in a quiet moment, he remarked, "Let none regret that they were difficult to convince. I fought my master for 6 long years with the result that I know every inch of the way." He repeated the expression, "every inch of the way." The two other anecdotes are taken from the life of Sri Sharada Devi by Sri Gambhirananda Ji. A certain crazy woman used to come to Sri Ramakrishna. It became evident later that she was one who adopted the attitude of a sweetheart toward him. Sri Ramakrishna looked upon all women as embodiments of the Divine Mother. One day her approach threw him into a violent childlike protest. He paced the room like a madman, cursing such a relationship in the strongest terms he could muster. The Holy Mother felt humiliated by this insult to her daughter. She said to her companion, Golap Mau, "If she had been unthinking in her talk, should he not have sent her to me? What is the meaning of abusing her like this?" She had the unfortunate woman brought in and said to her affectionately, "My daughter, you may as well not go to him since your presence irritates him. You can come to me." Overeating hinders meditation. So Sri Ramakrishna instructed the Holy Mother to restrict the pieces of bread, etc. she was to give to different disciples like Rakal, Brahmananda, Baburam, Premananda and others. Mother, however, could not tolerate this kind of limitation to her own field of motherly care. So she fed them according to what she felt they needed. The master found this out. He tried to convince her that she was spoiling their future by her heedless affection. The mother protested, saying, "I shall look to their future. Don't you take them to task in this matter of eating." The master saluted that all-conquering motherliness and left the place smiling. The author comments significantly, "He must have been delighted that day to find the mother consciously entering on our future field of activity. We will close with a prayer. Kayena vacha manasaindriyarvya buddhyotmana va prakrite svabhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayaneyet samarpayamim. Whatever I do, either by body, speech, mind or sensory organs, either with my personal knowledge or natural trait, I surrender and submit all that to the Supreme Divine Narayana.